talk about
capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams.
Talk about
possibilities.
It ain't rocket surgery,
but maybe it is.
Come on down, we're gonna sit around and
get into your business. Get into your business.
Business. Welcome to the Small Business Miracles Podcast. I'm Jeff Randolph. This Small Business Podcast is brought to you by EAG Advertising and Marketing. We're going to talk about marketing. We're also here to celebrate entrepreneurs. We have marketing news and advice that business owners can use to keep moving forward. This week, we sit down with Tim Emerson. He's the president and owner of Emerson & Company. But first, we've got another small business marketing tip to talk about.
Business.
Do you own your own website? Now, that's kind of a weird question, isn't it? Because of course you do. You bought that domain name and you built a site and now you own it. Now, wait, where am I going with this? Well, let's start out by asking, why do I want to own my own website? Well, you know when your parents would say, while you live under my roof, you'll live by my rules? That wasn't just my parents, was it? Yeah, if you are on a hosted web content management platform, and here I'm talking about sites like Wix or GoDaddy, Squarespace, Shopify, if you built your site using one of those platforms, your website lives on those platforms. You can't just pick up that code and move it somewhere else. You live on their platform, and that means you have to follow their rules because you're living under their roof. And there are reasons to choose a platform like that. Absolutely, there are reasons. They make it really easy to set up a site and sell products. Really turnkey convenience there, and very easy to manage. It's kind of a nuance, and you don't always see the conflict, but we've seen clients outgrow some of those platforms and need a more robust search engine optimization infrastructure, as an example. We've also seen shopping sites where the company isn't allowed to sell a particular category of product on the website because it violates one of their rules. Now, too often, the way they police that kind of behavior is by threatening to take down your entire website. And that's a problem because all you really own is your domain name. You are at their mercy when that happens, even if that rule is not right at all, or it's misjudged or misapplied or whatever. You just don't own it. Now, there are plenty of other website systems out there where you could be on, like WordPress. Something like half of the world's websites are built using that WordPress framework. But those sites are hosted wherever you'd like to host them. Then you own your own website. It's always a risk-reward equation. Hosted site platforms have a time and a place, and they may be great for your business. They're easy to manage. They are easy to set up. Just know, there may be a time where you should plan to go a different direction. And that's our tip for today. All right, welcome back to the podcast. I'm here with Tim Emerson. He is president and owner of Emerson & Company. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Happy to have you here. You have been doing this for 18 years now, so congratulations on that longevity. But tell us, what does Emerson & Company do? What is it you'd say you do here?
We help businesses hit their mission statements. We're doing their back office, payroll, accounting, bookkeeping. We help them search for insurance resources, things like that, and also provide some HR support. So small and medium businesses, where they're kind of go-to problem solver.
For everything. And you rattled off a lot of different services there. I'm kind of curious about the origin story, because did you plan to offer all of those services at the beginning? Or because you've got bookkeeping and merchant services, payroll, insurance. Did that evolve over time?
It did. Yeah, it's a great question. Started out with merchant services, and then we were approached by ADP, which is a payroll provider out there, and they said, hey, these clients that you're selling merchant services to, you could monetize that relationship by adding payroll. So we did that, and we had a great success with it, and then we added other vendors as well.
Oh man, so it just kind of, you cobble together all of the pieces that a business needs in that back office environment and everything.
Yeah, it worked out great. Really it all boils down to service. I mean, a lot of our success is we have a great team. You mentioned Tricia earlier, and we're just very fortunate to have a lot of like-minded people that are ready and willing to help.
To help do everything that's right. I think we may be aligned on that because we feel kind of the same way, that if you do the things that people need you to do for them and you are responsible and trustworthy and they can depend on you like that, that's all the benefit. Tell me about your ideal customer, because you mentioned small and medium-sized businesses. When are you the hero for a client?
That's a tough question. Our ideal customer is somebody that's coachable and humble enough to know, hey, maybe there's another way to look at it. We typically are being referred, so we don't have a sales team. Most of our business comes from referral partners like CPA firms. We work with benefit brokers. So they're introducing us, helping with a payroll solution, and that go-to customer, or that customer, when they're introduced in that fashion, we don't have to do a lot of selling. We're basically coaching, showing the pros and cons of different solutions, and then help them implement that. And then, of course, we maintain the service for it.
Yeah, and that's just, I mean, there's not a one-size-fits-all approach out there. You are putting together all of the right solutions for people instead of just saying, here it is, sign up. Be on this platform.
Yeah, we can. We're truly acting as a consultant. We don't care what platform it goes to. We show them the pros and cons of the opportunities out there and advocate for them by helping them negotiate best pricing. And then, of course, we're the ones servicing it. So we have that experience of knowing what that experience is going to look like.
So just guiding them through. That's the best thing. That's a hero moment. That's a hero moment.
I like the water. So we tell them we like to help them navigate through the process.
Oh, got it. Yeah. A lot of the company descriptors that you have out there, a lot of the about us kind of content, you mentioned that Emerson & Company has a problem solving attitude. And that starts to tell us something about your company culture. Talk to me about the importance of that problem solving culture that you've got.
Yeah. So, an example of that would be when we went through the pandemic. It was very challenging times for a lot of our businesses. Some were forced to close. Others were, applying for things like the COVID loans, PPP 1 and PPP 2 and the EIDL loans and all that. And a lot of business owners didn't know where to turn. The information was changing. Congress was still kind of ironing out how that would all look. And we were fortunate to have somebody that really dug their teeth into that. And we did a lot of Zoom calls and educated people. And so that's an example of problem solving where we kind of were the go-to source for that.
Yeah, small businesses, entrepreneurs have to have that kind of attitude, because no one had pandemic on their strategic plan for that year. That was something that was new for everybody. But I feel like when you're talking about supporting a small business, you have to be just that much more nimble and just that much more adaptable to solving a problem. So that's kind of baked into your DNA and all of the people that you hire.
Business owners are a little bit out on an island. They're in their office every day working very hard. And so we're hearing a lot of problems and seeing how those get resolved. And so, the best thing a client can do is be candid with us and say, hey, I'm running into this. Have you seen this before? What would you suggest doing? So being in the business a long time, 17 years, you hear a lot of problems and you see how those get worked out and resolved. And it's great being able to help people.
Yeah. Are your clients in one particular industry, or are they all over the board?
Yeah. So they're all over the board. For the first 15 years or so, or really right up until COVID, it kind of accelerated that trend of people jumping off Microsoft Teams meetings, Zoom calls, things like that. And so we're really promoting flyover country. I love the fact that the cost of goods here, your office space, our office space, is a fraction of what it would be in a larger market.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of our accounting firms that refer to us are playing off of that. Our referral partners, business development people are playing off that Midwest.
Yeah.
And of course, it doesn't hurt that we have strong work ethics.
Yes, 100%.
I'm a farm kid, as we talked about earlier, and it's just a great place to do business.
Yeah, not having your clients in all one industry, I think that gives you the kind of vision to say, hey, this worked over here for this company that we helped, and they're in a different industry, but the principles are the same. We can recommend this kind of thing, or, you know, we've seen 12 other ways in three other industries that you can do this. So similar to us, it's you know, very much a, you know, we don't have to have that. We're an expert in this industry, right? We focus solely here. We're getting all of the best ideas from everywhere and say, hey, this works over here. Let's apply it.
Right.
So I love that. Love that approach. Tim, are you ready to go into the lightning round?
Sure.
You have, we've talked about, we know before this point, we're going to talk about the company and we're going to know what you do, but now you have no way to know what I'm going to ask. So if you're ready, we're going to do this.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm excited.
And a lot of this is just kind of getting some advice. So looking back at the early days of your entrepreneurial journey, look back 17, 18 years ago, if you could go back in time and tell first year in business you some kind of advice, if you could give yourself advice at the very beginning of your entrepreneurial journey, what would that advice be?
Be patient. Be patient. I think that's probably the biggest thing. It's easy to get frustrated early on in the business. And I had a good friend that told me, suit up and show up and good things will happen. So I think patience is there's a lot of, you know, words, but for me, patience has been tough, but it's also, I think, important to kind of stay on your course.
I hope you would believe you. If you were standing there talking to yourself, it's like, be patient. I think for me, it would be, patience. How long will that take?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't listen to myself, but that, great advice. What advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur, somebody who's deciding, do I want to do this? Do I want to go into business?
I would say be disciplined. One of the big things is living within your means. I think a lot of business owners are pressing. They want everything now. And then all of a sudden the company just folds on itself because they've got too many expenses. And that would work with literally almost any business that I can think of.
Sure. Yeah. That's also good advice. Don't try to do everything once. In fact, a lot of the advice that we've heard so far from entrepreneurs in that same kind of question, get used to saying not yet. This is a great idea. We need to do that, but not yet. Let's focus. Let's be disciplined.
Right.
And then we can move forward. In this question, I'm taking more of a desert island approach. I'm taking away every movie that has ever been made except one movie of your choice. What movie is that you are going to watch forever that you can always watch every time it's on?
Oh, I'd say A River Runs Through It.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A little fly fishing action kind of movie?
I like it.
For the drama or for the fly fishing? Because
I think just for the outdoors, it's relaxing. It's a great movie.
It is. I totally agree. I actually watched that not long ago again. So yeah, it's a good choice. Good choice. Our crack team of researchers suggests that you are a pheasant hunter. There are several things that make a hunting trip successful besides bagging your limit on ringnecks. What makes a hunting trip a success?
The people that are with you.
All about the people.
Yeah.
What what are you looking for in those people?
Oh, people that are doers, that'll roll up their sleeves, the people that are flexible. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of people I like to work with. It's like people I like to have fun with and that can adapt to whatever the situation is, kind of go with the flow.
That's good. Excellent answer. Yeah. Excellent answer. We've also looked at some of the other things you're involved in. After you've already put in a full day of running the business, you give back to the industry by serving on the board for the Kansas City chapter of the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals, and you're on the board for Waldo Brookside Rotary Club. What does giving back and serving the community mean to you?
It's a legacy that my parents have left me. Yeah. You know, my mom was the first female Chamber of Commerce president back in 1991 in my hometown, Fort Scott, where we grew up. And it's a great way to meet people, and it's a great way to kind of balance your life and give back. It's very rewarding. I highly recommend people get out there and look for something that they have an interest in and get involved.
Yeah, because I look at the NAABIP, and one of the organization's primary goals is to promote promote access to affordable health insurance coverage. Now, these are not social clubs where you're just, you know, hanging out and talking to people and hanging out. These are active clubs. You are doing things for right. these clubs. That's a lot of work to do on top of your day.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of fun. You know, a lot of these business owners are struggling, trying to look for solutions. That same group goes back to the Capitol Conference in Washington, D.C. once a year. Mm-hmm. And again, they're advocating for small and medium businesses trying to help put together insurance solutions and different packages. So it's a great cause. And I was asked to become involved, and I've been doing it for about 4 years now.
Man, it's got to be worthwhile because you're spending time doing it. That's great stuff. If I give you the power to change the world in some way, to make it a better place, I don't know what that means to you, but what would you do to make the world a better place? And I'm going to give you some power here. We could take away some kind of stigma. You could, you know, change absolutely anything. What would you do to make the world a better place?
Oh, I think if I could do anything to make the world a better place, I'd like to have people not be as polarized.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I would, I don't know how I would do that, but I could, if you're saying I had magic powers.
You have magic powers.
I hate that, you know, people are so strongly opinionated one way or another. And at the end of the day, these groups that I'm like Rotary, for instance, is apolitical.
Right.
It's non-denominational. You know, we don't talk about church and things like that. You know, there's really a lot of commonality that people mm-hmm. have, I guess, if you will. So I have friends on both sides of the aisle politically, I think it's important to talk about those types of things.
Yeah, you're connecting on a human level instead of on the things that we may disagree on to try to push each other's buttons and stuff. Hey, if you can do that, I think it would take some magic to make that happen because we seem to be going a very different direction as a society. That is a noble thing to do, and I do think that through the other work that you're doing, you're helping make that through Rotary Club and others. The lightning round is just that easy. There's nothing to it. I'll take you out of the lightning round. We'll come back out of that. Right. Let's see. Where can people find you? Where can they get more information about Emerson & Company if they should decide that they are a small or medium-sized business and want to have some help with all of those areas?
Yeah, well, they can go to Tim Emerson on LinkedIn. They can go to our website, which is emerson-co.com. And we also have a LinkedIn page. So easy to find us. We're right here centrally located in the Westport area. And would love an opportunity to help.
Outstanding. Tim Emerson, president and owner of the Emerson Company. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jeff. Enjoyed it.
And that is our show. Thanks again to our guest, Tim Emerson, and thank you for listening to the Small Business Miracles podcast. Remember to subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review, drop us a line on the website at eagadv.com if you have any thoughts. Until then, we'll be out here helping entrepreneurs with another Small Business Miracle.
Talk about capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams. Talk about possibilities, it ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Come on down, we're gonna sit around and get into your business, get into your business. Get into your business.